Give the Lord a hand. Hey, the title of this month's series is Mission Impossible. The church faced an impossible mission in and of themselves. They needed the power of Almighty God. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you this morning may feel like your mission is impossible. Your mission to be a dad or a wife or a mom or an employee or a business. Because God has placed us everywhere in our mission field, hasn't He? And you may have been praying for people for years and you don't see them coming to Christ. Some of them are dearly loved and it seems like the mission is impossible. But I want to tell you this morning that all things are possible with Jesus. Anything's possible with the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? Say it with me. If God be for you, who can be against you? We talked about in our men's breakfast yesterday that started off with a bang. We had a room full of guys. If we really believe God is for us, and if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, God is for you, then who can be against you? Man alive, the Lord is on your side. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to get a chance to get to meet Him today, if that's your choice. But you know what? I'm trying to talk Pastor Christian. He's a boxer. Believe it or not, he's into this fighting deal, and I'm trying to talk him out of it till he gets hit in the head too many times. He's a really smart, intelligent young man that's on our staff, but I'm afraid if he gets hit in the head too many times, he may need some help. So y'all work on him like I do. But I tell you what, Pastor Christian, when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit's in the ring, the fight is fixed. How you do it? Come on, show me. Look at him. He's got the moves. Nothing's impossible with God. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if God is for the Rock Church, who can be against us? And I want you to know, God is for this new girl's ministry. Who can be against it? Say nobody. Because the Lord always wins. I heard a story of a man's father who died of cancer in a nursing home. They lived 1,500 miles away, and I'm going to tell you his story just briefly. And I know the challenges of living far away from my parents. And, of course, my dad has gone to be with the Lord, and mom's not healthy, and you can't go all the time, so you go when you can. And he knew that his dad was in bad shape, so he bought him a plane ticket. But while he was on the way, his dad fell into a coma. So by the time he got to the nursing home, his dad was in a coma. And this young man had been saved all his life, been in church all his life. His dad wasn't much of a churchgoer, and he was relatively certain, at least in his own mind, that his dad didn't know Jesus. And the thought crossed his mind as he was on the plane. He gets off the plane. He gets his rental car. He's headed directly to the nursing home. The thought went through his mind, where would his dad go when he died? Would he be going to heaven or would he be going to hell? And then he had this thought, how can I talk to him now? Because his dad was in a coma. He would go, he would stand at the bed of his father, and all he could do was pray quietly. A family member had met him there, a sister who lived close to dad, and he said, I don't know what to do. I can't tell him about Christ. I probably should have shared Jesus more than I had. What do I do, Julie? He said to his sister. Julie looked at her brother and said, why don't you sing Dad a song? And the man goes on to say, he began to sing, How Great Thou Art. I still love that song, don't you? Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Now, the reason he picked that song 10, 15 years before, and this was back in the day of tapes. We don't have tapes anymore. It was before CDs and streaming. What's a tape? How many of you remember the 8-track tape? Oh, my gosh. I thought we were younger than that in here. He had given him a tape with a lot of Christian hymns on it. And that was one of those songs. As the man sang to his father laying in that bed in a coma, began to sing with his son. And he began to sing that old song with his father. And even though he couldn't open his eyes, nor did he ever speak other than sing, tears rolled down his eyes. His son watched in amazement as his father lay there in a coma. Sing that song. He lifted his hand. He put it down. And he was gone. Now the son thought he knew what that meant. Wouldn't you? The nurse comes in, or had been standing in the door watching. And she knew the quandary they were in. And she shared with that son that 3 days previous, his dad has given his heart to the Lord. Amen? Our mission is to see people come to Jesus. Yeah, and we need to make disciples out of them and all that, and we'll talk about that next week. But our primary mission, the front end of our mission, is to see people come into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that worship song so touched my heart this morning, because He's not just a King. We sing the words, Savior King. He's the Savior King. That's the mission of the church, and that's the mission of our church. We saw last week that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be a witness. It's of the dozen of things that the Holy Spirit does through us, it's to be a witness. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. I'm going to continue this week sharing about the mission of God. Next week, we'll begin to unpack a few of our own 2018 goals. I kind of want to wait till the third and fourth weekend to beat this P.F. Chang's thing. But look around. I think we beat P.F. Chang's this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll talk about a couple of principles today. How do we prepare ourself for the mission? And by the way, we're on a mission every day. I've said that. Read with me in Acts 1:14, one verse says everything that I want to talk about today. And it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. One simple verse. And you see the word united or unity and in prayer. They were together. They were of one mind, one purpose, one heart. They were in unity. Unity's a big deal, church. And they were in prayer. Prayer still works. God still answers prayer. When we pray, He still moves mountains. But when you get a church in mission and their hearts and minds are knit and they're in unity and they're a praying church, God shows up and does things. Because as I said earlier, nothing's impossible with God. Let's take a look at just two principles today. One, the early church was in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 says this, and Paul was writing and appealing to the early church. He said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. Powerful times. But that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Ephesians 4:3 says this, make every effort, say every effort, Does that mean every effort, everything you can do, anything you can do, every effort, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Hey, in order to have power in our church or any church, there's got to be unity. And that's just a biblical principle that applies to everything in life. In order to have a fruitful, powerful marriage, your husband, wife, you're going to have to be in unity. In order for these new ladies that have given their life to ministry, they're going to have to work as a team and be in unity. Royal Ranger men, y'all are going to have to work together if we're going to be in unity. Look, if one wins, we all win. If one loses, we all lose. We're a team, unified with a purpose for God. If you're going to do well in sports, and some of you, I boycotted all year. I probably will go back next year. I still cheered for the Cardinals. I still read ESPN News, but I boycotted every game this year. It's okay with me if you didn't. I'm not trying to preach either way. I just decided I'm a God and country guy, and I'm not even going to go down that path. But whoever wins the Super Bowl will be the best team. It'll be because they work together. Isn't it good to be in? I mean, we have problems in our church because we have problems. Look to your neighbor and say, you got a problem. No, we're people. We're not perfect yet, right? Right? But this church right now, we're in what a wonderful, wonderful season. There is truly unity and love and togetherness. If you're one of our guests, it really is true. If it wasn't true, I just wouldn't tell you. But when a group of people get in unity, God will empower that group of people. See, we've got to have collective vision. We've got to have collective goals. We've got to have collective core values. We must have a collective focus. We can accomplish more together than we can alone. Give me a big amen on that. I was doing premarital counseling with Josh and Francine the other day. Boy, that has been interesting. Don't worry. Everything's in confidence. Josh started shaking. Actually, they're really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful young people. And it's really been a lot of fun. But I looked at him the other day, and probably I'll share it with you many, many times, is God's plan for marriage is He wants it to be fruitful and powerful. Everybody I know that has a good marriage has to work hard to have it. I mean, it's by the grace of God, but you got to be focused. You got to have intentionalities to do right things in your marriage and practice right things. But I looked at him and I said this to him, and they'll remember. I said, your potential together is greater than your potential as individuals. And that's true in a marriage, and that's true in a church. Darla's made twice a better man out of me than if I didn't have her. Hopefully I've made her a little bit. But together, our potential, Rock Church, together, what we can do together has great, great potential. We believe that folks must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And this morning, if you'll ask Christ into your heart, repent of your sins. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Invite Him into your life. He will be Lord and Savior of your life. And we believe there's a transformation, there's a conversion that only the Spirit can do. And you'll be saved for an eternity and different while you're down here. We believe that after that, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But tongues is only just one little tool. We learned last week that the witnessing tool is the most important. But there's tongues, interpretations of tongues, prophecy, gifts of healing, all kinds of things God does once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We believe that here because we believe God's Word is God's Word. We believe as a church, and I just need to tell y'all every now and then, I know it's repetitive, that we believe this is God's Word, infallible, God's Word, and that we learn how to view our world through the Word of God, and it teaches us how to behave what we believe, and with God's grace and God's help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live what we believe, can't we? Because we can't do it on our own, and that we're a lifelong work in progress. We believe that our vision is to love God, to give people opportunities to fall in love with the Lord that loves you. Like I said, if He be for you, who can be against you? He died. You know the greatest proof that Christ is for you? He died for you. He went to the cross and carried your sins, a debt that you couldn't pay, a debt that would have condemned you forever. Jesus Christ took it on His shoulders, took it up to the cross, and rose on the third day. That's how much God loves everybody here, believer and unbeliever as well. Jesus loves you. And there's a better way that's an eternal way, and there's a better way in Christ that's on this earth. We believe that with all our heart. And so we try diligently to create environments where people can fall in love with God. And then they can grow in Christ. That's why I mentioned men's ministry small groups, women's ministry. Table talk is off the hook. We get around round tables and we study Scripture a chapter at a time. Are there any hungry people out there? I think sometimes we think, you know, I've known God for 20 years, 30 years. I've studied the Book of Mark. I've done that. You know what? Maybe you're a little dry. Maybe God needs to put a little hunger in your spirit, not just to know Christ and love God, but to grow and continue to grow in Christ. Look, I'll tell you, I'm so tenacious right now. In May, I hit the big 6-0. Don't tell a soul. This is for us. This is for church family. It's okay if you know, but I don't want everybody else to know because, I mean, I know I'm holding on 49. Yeah, the 75-year-old pastor said he wishes he was 60. I'm still just a pup. I'll take that. I'll receive that as encouragement, Pastor Phil. But I'll tell you what. Why don't we want to finish strong? Is there anybody here that wants to fade into the sunset? I'll tell you, over the holidays, and now I'm walking and now I'm listening to Scripture, and it's made me hungrier, not to be your pastor or to preach or to serve, hungrier for God's Word and hungrier for God than I've ever been in my life. As I made a vow to God with His grace and His help, I'm not going to fade into the sunset. I'm going to, with His help, keep fire burning in my soul and be hungry for the Word of God. If you're hungry enough, you can attend a girls' ministry class and get something from God's Word. We need to get hungry for God. We need to get hungry for God's Word because His Word works. It works. It works right now. It works forever. Put these principles into action and you will reap a good harvest. Plant good seed, good harvest. Bad seed, bad harvest. But some of us, if we're going to keep... Look, I'm not grown up yet, Pastor Phil. I'm just a pup. I got a lot more Jesus I need to know about. Dear Lord Jesus. Makes me hungry just preaching about it. Love God, grow in Christ, and then empower you to reach the world. Tell others about Christ. If you don't know enough Scripture, tell people what Jesus has done for you. Be a witness. Bring others in. People are hurting all around us. They're looking for the answer, and we really believe that Jesus is the answer because we've seen Jesus work over and over and over and over again. Somebody give me a big amen on that. Look, we're not going to get done right at 11:30, I'm going to tell you, but we won't be too late. Promise you. You can't go anywhere anyway. I gotcha. Look to your neighbor and say, you need to get hungry. Say, I know you're saved, but you need to get hungry for God again. Huh. I notice I threw in for God. Right about now, we're all hungry. It's almost lunchtime. Then you got to have some core values. We have personal core values, biblical core values. You can pull those up for me, Stephen. And I'm just going to hit these quick because we really believe God has dropped these things into our heart. I hope, guests, when you came here today, you felt welcome, because we believe Jesus loves you. We love you and we honor and you respect you. We believe that's the way Christians should behave everywhere they go, is honor others and be the most hospitable people we can possibly be. Love never fails, and I think honor is just another form of love. And so from me to you, and I try to get around to all the guests. I didn't make it this morning. We love you. We appreciate you. We're glad you're here. I mean it. I don't know how to really relate that in 10 or 15, but we love you, and we're glad you came. And we'll pray that you'd be part of this team, part of this family. I mentioned being family-focused earlier. But we believe in joyful attitudes, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Even when we're in trials away from the heaven, there's a certain number of us in trials all the time, right? I have something going on in my world. But the joy of the Lord, look, that's why we laugh around here a lot. I insert a humorous story into my message just every now and then. One time I had said, Pastor, and boy, I'd been trying to get this person to smile for 3 years. For some reason, they thought when you come to church, you weren't supposed to smile. I just don't get it. It's been some time ago. They've moved on. And I never told them I was trying to get them to smile in church. But I really was. I was on a personal mission to see. They wouldn't smile when they were singing. They wouldn't smile when you were preaching. They wouldn't laugh at anything or anybody. I guess they had to be very somber when they come to the house of God. Never did get them to smile. God bless them. I think a lot of times when you have joy, it affects your face. I don't know, because I'm not a, but I know it takes almost either double or triple the muscles to frown as it does to smile. Yep, look it up. Google it. If somebody can Google it right now, you'll find out that it's true. Hey, look at your, let's smile. Come on, try it. Some of you still, you old grumpy things. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When it's good and when it's bad, it's the joy of Jesus Christ deep in our heart. That's one of our core values. And I've talked about growing and finding a place to grow in Christ and prayer-centered. And we're going to talk more about that just in a moment. God still answers prayer. And we believe we should help people less fortunate than us. Some of the things we're doing now, they've changed. We've fed, we've clothed, we've done hot meals. We're in girls' homes right now, in retirement homes. Have a few other things on the radar that we need to reach out and help those less fortunate than ours. That's what we value here at The Rock. And I'm telling you, when you've got a vision like we do, and you've got core values like we do, and there's unity because what God has done in our life, I'm telling you what, God can do and will do great things. Look, we don't have to agree on every detail, because guess what? We don't. Darla and I don't agree on every detail in our relationship, but we're in unity. We're in one accord. We're on same page. We just have to love God. And as we love God, God knits our hearts. We've got to focus on what God's called us to do, and He will knit our hearts. And when we live in unity, there will be the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that. God talks about a commanded blessing in one of the Psalms, said that when there's unity in the house, it's like oil. Oil symbolizes what? The power of the Holy Spirit. That it will be like oil running down on Aaron's head, into Aaron's beard, into his clothes. And then he says in that psalm, there will the power of the Lord be forevermore. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and we'll read it next week, said if we'll go and get them, and if we'll disciple them and make them, and then baptize them in water in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, Almighty God said, and I will be with you wherever you go. Some of the struggles you're having in your household is you're not in one of mind. You love each other. You care about each other, but you're not on the same page. You got to get on the same page. And if you can't say, Jesus, help us get on the same page, drill down, talk, communicate, pray, but get on the same page. Let the Lord knit your hearts and knit your minds, and then the power of God will come to your life. I believe that. And we must practice Christian unity. You know, that's how the world throws rocks at us. Because sometimes we fuss and fight as much as they do. And then number two, I only really have 2 points today, is to have power in the church. There not only has to be unity, but focused prayer. Say this with me, focused prayer. Not just everybody. There's a time, even in some prayer meetings, where everybody prays everything. But that's not the only way to pray a Pentecostal prayer. I love those meetings where we just release it. Pray whatever's on your heart, everybody. Pray it once. But as a church, too, we need to have things we're praying about together. Right? Do you agree with that? Because there's power when we focus on the same things. Matthew 18 and 19. Let's just read a couple of verses. Jesus said, again, truly I tell you that two of you on earth agree about anything, if they ask for it, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Is that a powerful thing? For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Mark 11, 24, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. Later, and I'll just read it, I don't have it up on the board, in James 5 and 16, it said, the prayer of a righteous person is power and effective. And again, in your homes, in your businesses, you know, if one is praying one thing and one is praying another thing, who's God's prayer going to answer? I mean, you know, you can pray for this team or that team. I have people say, well, I'm praying for my football team will win. Well, I said, I'm praying that my football team will win. I said, well, who's God going to answer? That's the way we pray in our households sometimes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's sometimes the way we pray in the church. Well, you know, I know pastor thinks that's important, but and I'm not. We've got a great prayer team, which I mean a fabulous intercessory prayer team. I believe truly one of the best anywhere, anytime, any place. Very spirit led. So don't say I'm not saying that. But if half the church is praying, we go one direction, and half the church praying, we're going the other direction, which direction is God going to go? And the bottom line is our hearts aren't in unity. But I tell you what, when we get in agreement in prayer, God said two or three. So when 150, 175, you know, folks get in unity and they get focused in prayer, my word, what can God do? What will the Lord do when we have focused prayer as well? We need to, listen, do y'all know that Jesus is in the soul business? On our daily prayer list and corporate prayer list, we ought to be praying for souls all the time. In your devotion, when is the last time you prayed that somebody get saved? Jesus is in the soul business. Aren't you glad? He's in the soul saving business. We need to be in that business too. Pray for more souls to be saved. I'll tell you, Sunday morning intercessory prayer meeting, I mean, and Ned leads that and Yvette and some of y'all come. I provide and they're led and they hear things from God and they bring it to me and it's awesome and we're in unity and it confirms things the way we're going. And I give them a list too of current needs in our church. I'm telling you, and I believe this with all my heart, it's been intercessory prayer, focused intercessory prayer is the reason we're still in this building today. If I had to pick all the reasons, because it's a miracle we're still standing in this building. And things are looking up, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if I had to give one reason, it was because a small group of people, because I've kept it on the prayer list. It rarely comes off the monthly prayer list that we have continually to focus and seek God for favor on this piece of property. 9 o'clock every Sunday morning now for years. 9 o'clock. If you can be there, the women's got a prayer retreat coming up. First time we've had one of those in years. A retreat where women, guys, you can't go, sorry, can go pray. We've adapted our engage meeting the third Tuesday of every month. We are giving an hour to prayer and worship because we feel like we need to pray more. And God's been answering prayer. We felt as a staff we've got to pray more even in our services. That's why during the worship we put people to the left and the right, where when you have a need, get up during the worship, go get prayed for and go back and keep worshiping. Did I say if you have a need and you need prayer on Sunday morning during the worship, there's people on these walls ready to pray for you? Because I've got a prayer focus for the altar call. But we want people, any need, any time, what's going on in your world, can somebody join with me in prayer Sunday morning? It can happen here every time you come to church if you want it to. We have altar calls, as you know. This is what we call an altar. 90% of all our services, I'll give you opportunity to come and respond to God in prayer. We have a fabulous prayer chain. We use the Slack app for that. It's been a personal blessing to me and many. You put a prayer request on the general Slack tab, 50 people can be praying within 2 minutes. We believe in prayer. There's a prayer wall in the back. Requests that we're praying on. The men have been meeting, and Tom Romanski, who's not here today, leading a prayer meeting on Saturday morning for years. And I don't know, and I've got to look at the calendar, and I've got to pray. But I believe we've got to pray more. We've got to schedule some more times to pray and seek God in focused prayer. Hey, could I challenge you personally just to pray more this year? Three of you nodded your heads. Just just make some time for God. Open your Bible. Get a devotional that'll lead you a little bit. And just take a little time with prayer. I'm not going to slam down an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. I'm not going to put that on you. But I am challenging. Make some time. Make a time for God and keep your appointment. Don't just, whatever. For most people, it works early in the morning. That means you have to say no. Oh, I saw you look up. Everybody went, no. Yeah, you have to say no to at least 30 minutes of extra sleep. You have to lead yourself just a little bit better. But don't you think that your time with God is more important than 30 minutes, hour, whatever you choose? Keeping your appointment with God every day, I'm telling you, not only make a difference in you, it'll make a difference in your family, it'll make a difference in the church, it'll make a difference in our culture, it'll make a difference in the kingdom. How are you going to pray? Pull it up for me, Stephen. It's one of my favorite acronyms called ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's easy to remember because it's the book of Acts. The word's big enough. A-C-T-S. How many will try for the next 30 days to pray a little? Let me see. Almost all of it. Not driving down the road either. I know some of you pray while you're driving. You've almost run over me several times over the years. I look over. The lady just about hit me. And she's lifting up. Lady, pray at home. You're about to kill us out here. I'm telling you. I'm serious. And there are about three people flipping her that friendly finger. She's just praying, oblivious. No, I want you to find a time and a place, because that's going to help you be disciplined. A time and a place that almost every day you can meet with God in a certain place, in a certain time, and you can pray. And this is what I want. 30 days is all I'm asking. How long, Pastor? I don't care. 1 minute to 3 hours. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to try this. Some of you, Acts. Start out with a time of adoration. What's adoration? Lord, you are so wonderful. Pastor Dale has challenged us to pray for 30 days. And I come to, no. Lord, I adore you. I worship you. Savior King, thanks for saving me. It's just a short time of worship. Go with it however long you go with it. You might get through, I'll worship you, but then and then go to confession. But just go with it as long as it goes. If you spend 30 minutes or 3 minutes or 3 seconds in worship, it's more than some of us have been doing. Hello. Make a time, make a place, keep your appointment with God, and take some time to adore Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for us. And then confess. Listen, don't say, I don't have anything to confess, liar. I practice confession every day. Not some religious thing. I pretty much need forgiveness and cleansing on a daily basis. Confess your sins, your shortcomings. I got to slide this nugget in. The scripture said the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You heard that scripture? It's in there. The word new in the Hebrew really means new. It's not the same new one the next day. It's a different new one. Mercy is so wonderful, so big, so magnified. It is a brand new mercy every day. It's like having a... how can I illustrate that? It's like having a Jeep one day and a motorcycle the next day. I mean, His mercies are new every day. It's not the same one. It's different. So if you're 50 years old times 365 is 15,000 days or so, and I'm just crunching the numbers, Christ's mercy was new for you 15,000 times 15,000 different ways. You want me to preach that? That's been in my personal devotion time. Wow! Then start talking about the manifold grace. We'll be here all day, I'm telling you. What happened to my prayer plan there, Stephen? Did it quit? Adoration, confession. And because His mercy and grace is good every day, you need to confess your sins. I'd like to talk about introspection and all that. That's things God's doing in me. We don't have time. We need to take time with confession, though, sometimes. It's not a bad thing. God doesn't beat you up over it. He actually helps you through it. Thanksgiving. Then be thankful. Lord, I'm just thankful. I praise You. Thank You for food on the table. Whatever's on your heart. And then this big supplication word. That's the prayer list. That's the needs. You're praying for others. You lay some of your needs out there. Say A-C-T-S. Now read it with me. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. How many will try this for 30 days? Try it for 30 days, okay? And I'm telling you, some of you may, well, God, I give You glory. I'm a sinner. Thank You for everything. I need to go to work. Prayer's over. Well, at least you prayed. Start somewhere. Most of you are very familiar with the Dallas Theological Seminary. A great, actually, Baptist seminary, but has done great things around the world. And it was founded in 1924, but not long after the founding of that great Bible University, it came to the point of bankruptcy in the early going. In fact, it came so close to bankruptcy, they were 2 days away at noon. The bank was coming to possess the entire campus, which wasn't extremely huge in those days. It's a huge campus now. And they were coming to lock the doors and take the property. It'd be done. So the president of the college called the board members, some of the professors of the college, and they went into the president's office and they began to pray. Because they believed God had put on their heart to start this college to equip people for the ministry. In that meeting, one of the board members, I'm not sure if he's a board member or a faculty member, but he was in the inner circle of that pioneer movement in those days. He turned to pray because they went around the room and it prayed in agreement with each person. And he prayed this, Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Back in those days, you prayed in King James. We still do sometimes, don't we? Just being a little funny. Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send them the money. And of course, he was referring to a scripture. Yeah. What a prayer. And he was referring to the scripture, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. A lot of y'all have heard that scripture. Well, and they just continued to pray. They'd been in there hours. A rancher comes into the front office and talks to the reception, and he tells them this story. He said, I just sold 2 truckloads of cattle. And he said, the money I got from those cattle, he said, I was going to go out. I had a business deal I was going to make. He said, but the guy backed out on my business deal. And he said, I don't know why, but he said, I felt like I should come here and give you the check from selling 2 truckloads of cattle if you have a need. Well, that little secretary went to the door of the president's office, tap, 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 and peeked in and said, Mr. President, I hate to interrupt y'all's prayer meeting, but you may want to see this. She handed him the check, and of course he looks at it. Now, it was a smaller community in that area back in 1924, now Dallas, a madhouse. He knew the rancher, knew of the rancher, so, and he said, he looks at it, he says, guys, the need has been met to the nickel. It was the exact amount of money that they needed to keep the college open, was the exact amount that guy sold 2 truckloads of cattle. And he looked over to his friend, who I believe his name was Harry, said, Harry, God sold the cows. God will sell the cows when you pray. When a church is in unity and when a church is in prayer, God multiplies everything. Because it's Him. Because it's God. And that's the God we serve this morning. Amen. I have one more story. We'll wait on it for later. Oh, gosh, it's a good one. We'll fit it in another day. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. I want you to just take a minute and thank God for what He's doing in our life. Watch this. Bring it up, Steve.